aboard, you people, the Starship Rokon Show with Anna DeBlantis up for another day of broadcast insolence.
She followed the former president at the U of I, Champaign Urbana, today with a speech. Very strong criticism of the president.
Yes.
Top to bottom criticism, in fact, of his administration, of Republican Party in general, and the dire need to get out and vote, or else you will not save our democracy.
Well, good thing the president fell asleep.
That's what he said. He said in the President Trump's reaction.
Any of it.
I'm sorry, I watched but fell asleep.
Politics are so boring.
Right.
He's good for sleeping.
Yes, that's what the president said about it, because he wasn't threatening to hit somebody in the middle of the audience. It wasn't like a WWE event. It was a little more. It certainly does tell you where Donald Trump thinks he's going to fish for votes and for support, and where Barack Obama thinks he's going to be fishing. It was very different.
Very true.
Barack Obama goes to a university. It's quiet. There's polite applause. There's young, eager potential Democrats or current Democrats in the audience, and everybody's sort of applauding lightly. And then you go to a Trump rally, and it's like people are they got the torches, they got the whole thing going. They're jumping up and down. They're screaming, "And I'll kill the guy!" And it's, yay!
A lot of chanting.
Yeah,
that's on the other side. But he's trying to motivate young people to get out and vote, saying they're a critical part of the success for the Democrats. And it does seem you got the sense that former President Obama was just putting out the talking points of what, that he will probably be very active on the campaign trail. And then these are the talking points for the future for Democrats.
But a point was made earlier today, and it was Dana Bash maybe made the point on CNN that for every, there's a yin and a yang for this. So by Barack Obama going out, that certainly lights up Trump's base.
Yeah,
because
I think that's true.
There's a lot, because they Barack Obama was, other than Hillary, Barack Obama's number two. They would like to lock him up too. Not sure what for.
Not sure either.
Actually, I think it would be more like pull him over, pull him over.
He talked about that too. Race relations.
Yes.
Called the GOP turned into a radical party. They're using fear to get power. I think both sides could be accused of that.
Yeah, but I don't disagree that has always been a tactic. He pointed that out. It's always been a tactic. But just making stuff up and then playing to conspiracy theories and stuff like that is really not they've been around on both sides, but I have never seen it, from the White House, a guy actually trolling using conspiracy theories and stuff like that, where the president is doing it. That is unusual. And I don't think we should normalize that, right? I mean, it's not like, every other president could say something you could disagree with, but he isn't just making it up.
Right.
This, he's, unless it's a forward-looking statement. I can hear people already going, wow, Barack Obama said we could keep our doctors. Okay, give me another case where it was like an openly false statement, right? I can give you four he just said today. I mean, that's the thing. And Republicans know it. I mean, that's one of the things that Barack Obama was appealing to, I think, in his speech today, which, is in the middle of the day and most people aren't going to see it. And they want to, unless they want to go look at the excerpts of it. But what he was appealing to was, hey, Republicans, where are you on this? And he was talking right to moderate Republicans. Where were you? Where are you on deficits? Weren't you big about deficits?
Weren't you big against Russia?
Yeah.
I mentioned that part, too.
What's going on there? So, well, we'll find out. Michael Steele will answer all these questions.
He'll
He's coming up in just a few minutes with us. Michael Steele, the Man of Steel podcast, which is now available where all fine podcasts are purchased or stolen on the internet. Also, coming up on the program, let me tell you this. We have, we'll play some of the Obama in Urbana and Trump in Fargo.
Couldn't be more different places.
No.
Or different crowds.
Obama in Urbana. We'll play some of the audio of that. You can make up your own mind about how you feel about it. You don't need me telling you what you think.
Did you hear him talk about at the beginning how he was telling everyone on the plane with the corn were and the beans, pointing out the corn and the beans and bragging about his agricultural knowledge.
Yes.
See, right there is corn, and those are beans.
See, there's something to having a guy who is self-deprecating, who's making a speech as opposed to a guy going, I'm a genius, as Donald Trump did on Air Force One today.
He called himself a genius?
Yeah, oh yeah. He was about how there was no... you can't believe this book. There are people saying he's stupid in the book. You have to be at a really high level to be able to get up and make these speeches for an hour at a time extemporaneously.
Yeah, not easy.
Really?
Maybe he's just too smart for us.
That's it. Well, he certainly thinks he is. So we got the we'll play snippets of both and let you decide what you like. And then Tom Skilling will be joining us in the 4 o'clock hour. Tell us about the weekend. It does not look okay. Can I just just thought about something. I just want to if I may refer to myself as a stable genius.
Mm-hmm.
Did I not, a couple of weeks ago, right after the air show, I said, you know, within a couple of weeks, we're going to have these gray skies, gunmetal gray, and the lake will be gray and angry and all that.
And we all told you we're not ready to even hear that, so just don't talk about it. But here it is.
3 weeks later.
Here it is.
Like, almost like clockwork. I don't know why it does. It's going to be nice next week, but you get this little thing that happens that totally freaks you out.
And then you get more of it. Sort of creeps in there.
Yeah, exactly. And then, Lou Kanellis.
Yay.
Will be joining us to get us ready for the Bears and the Packers at the 4 o'clock hour as well. Very excited about that.
Oh, it's going to be great. So you're going to the game?
Going to the game on Sunday night. And I've been to Lambeau Stadium, but never during a football game. I've been to the parking lot.
It's weird.
I know.
What'd you go to the parking lot for?
I know.
Grilling brats.
On a Monday morning.
By yourself?
Yes, on a Monday morning at like 8 o'clock in the morning, I'm walking around a parking lot at Lambeau Field. I don't know. Don't ask.
Just practicing
for
your eventual time to visit for an actual game.
This actually did happen. But I would say, but it is beautiful up there, man. It is a special, special, special place.
Mm-hmm. It's one of the
few stadiums in America that when you, even when it's empty, you walk around it and you can it vibrates. It's got that. It's got a very special feeling around it because those fans, man, they come from all over the upper Midwest and all over the country, really, Green Bay Packer fans, because people just, you know, love them. It's like it's America's team in the sense that if you don't have another team, it's either the Dallas Cowboys or the Green Bay Packers. Right? It's sort of it's one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
They love it because it's a little town, it's town owned.
Enough of the Packer love.
I hate the Packers.
I hate the Packers.
But
too.
You have to respect, come on now,
Kevin. I know.
You have to respect what they have done up there. And it's
100%.
Look, it was Curly Lambeau and George Halas started the NFL freaking league.
I know.
The N freaking league.
I hear nothing but good things about Lambeau.
It is. It is something. When you go there, I mean, some of the art is a little sort of mid-century fascist, but it is, you know, like, I mean, there's a thing where it's like Curly Lambeau leading you forward, you know, like in a way it's a little like Nuremberg, but it was, I gotta tell you, but it's inspiring. If you're a Packers fan, man, you are into whatever they're doing up there.
Do you think it'll be there'll be a lot of Bears fans for that, for sure, right? Would you say it's like 25-75, do you think it's even
15,
higher than
85,
that?
Maybe.
Oh, yeah, because Packers fans don't sell their tickets, right?
No, but it is
Packer fans like go in hibernation until football season. They live for this.
Yeah, this is and the opener.
Yeah.
Huge. Under the
There's
lights.
A hotel that they just built, the Kohler people just built across the street from Lambeau, and when this game was announced, they sold out in 90 seconds their hotel.
Wow. Their hotels are beautiful.
Yeah. So.
Everything.
Great faucets.
Yeah. Really,
enough.
Very lovely. Very lovely. All right. Can we talk about let's start with Judy, about what's happening in the news at the bottom of the hour.
Trump says Obama put him to sleep.
Roosevelt University bring you the latest traffic.
Make Sundays your official night to tour the city, watch Chicago's best at 10 p.m., then stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events. See Chicago, 10:30 p.m. on WGN-TV.
It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here, 720 yes. WGN. Mr. Michael Steele joins us right now. He is the purveyor of the podcast Man of Steel.
Yes.
Man.
Hold on. Do you wear a cape, Michael Steele, now?
There are days. Mm-hmm. There are days, yeah.
Man of Steel!
Look, When you've got to leap a tall building, you know, the cape helps.
It does. That little bit extra might make a difference.
Yeah, I think we definitely need to put an artist on this right now. Hey, I got a couple questions for you.
Yes, sir.
I like watch me work here. Now, Michael and I have known each other a really long time, and we consider each other friends. At least I consider him a friend. He doesn't call me as much. I would like to say this. That I'm going to ask you a question, and then you're going to get really mad at me. But I'm going to ask you this question anyway. In terms of how you see America, do you see America through the lens as articulated by what Barack Obama said today or what Donald Trump said today?
By the lens Barack Obama said today.
All right.
Because that lens is not defined by party. It's not defined by race. It's not defined by anything other than the character and, you know, the ideals of a great nation. But most importantly, the people who make up that nation. So I thought President Obama hit the right tone. Some people are annoyed that he stepped out of that particular box that retired presidents are expected to remain in, like George Bush and others have. But, you know, this is a different time. And it requires every citizen, whether they are a former president or, you know, a blue-collar steel worker, to decide, okay, what kind of country do you want?
When I was listening to that speech, and it did go on for a while, and he made it an hour five. He could have done a tight 40 and it would have been the same thing, but he made the point that he was inviting, obviously it was a political speech about going out and voting for Democrats, but he was inviting Republicans, it seems to me, to at least engage even if Republicans don't want to cross over and vote for a Democrat, which most will not, at least engage in a different form of politics and try to return to another era. Can that be done?
Yeah, it can be done if people are willing to do it. You know, John McCain, in the last year of his life, and certainly in the message that he sent through his daughter, at his funeral services, reiterated that very same point. The truth of Obama is Obama is one of the more partisan presidents that we've had in the last 20, 25 years. And a lot of people go, well, what are you talking about? Well, he was. I mean, if you know the man and look at how he's evolved in his politics, yeah, he's a very partisan guy. He has no love for Republicans. He has no desire to treat them as political equals. And that's fine because, you know, as a partisan, I had no love for him and wanted to treat him as a political equal. But as an American, and I think that's the core of what he was saying when he started talking in that section about what happened to the Republican Party. You know, look, give me someone to have a good fight with over things like, you know, health care and education policy and infrastructure. Give me a party that I can have that fight with. You know, what we have now is a party that is giving cover to an amorality that is inconsistent, incompatible.
Interesting. You just used the word amorality. I wonder if Michael wrote that letter.
That word was in the letter.
Yes.
Wow. Did you have a hand in that letter?
Is that your
anonymous? But let me ask.
It's been a busy week.
Oh gosh, I bet for a lot of reasons. Michael, let me ask you about that because you saw former President Obama out there taking major swipes at the GOP, calling them radical, using divisiveness and fear to get power. Major swipes at the presidency. It seemed to signal a very involved role for Obama on the campaign, potentially for, you know, campaigning for Democrats now. That you saw the talking points there. It was all packaged nicely. Do you think that he will help Democrats? And do you think, as Roe was pointing out earlier, it might cause the Republicans to be more energized by seeing Obama out
there? No, You know, that's an interesting question. I definitely see okay, let me approach it this way. Obama represents a salve, a balm, if you will, on the wounds that still exist within the Democratic Party between the Hillary Clinton, statist sort of kind of traditional Democrats and Bernie Sanders, Kamala Harris, et cetera, that progressive wing that has not just emerged but has full-throatedly taken control, as we saw a couple of weeks ago when they changed the rules regarding superdelegates in the party. So he becomes that salve. He becomes that Band-Aid that sort of heals those two, not doesn't heal, but holds those two edges of the wound together. All right. For the purposes of what? Winning this November to at least take the House of Representatives, because that then sets in motion and quite honestly sets up the prospects for 2020. So he fills that particular role, and he seems more than willing and capable of doing that. It doesn't, however, address the wound itself, which is part of the Republican Party's problem. Donald Trump represented that Band-Aid that sort of held those edges together in 2016, and we still have not dealt with the fundamental questions that we're struggling with now. What does it mean to be a conservative? What does it mean to be a Republican? What is this party? That has gone largely unanswered, and it has become Trumpism or Trump-like. But that's at its core not who Republicans are. It's certainly not who I am. I'm still a Republican, so we still need to have this fight, because for me, that fight is worth having. I'm not willing to lay down and give up and walk away, as some have. So that's to come. And so these two presidents represent that sort of ability to hold that tension in check to get through the process. And I think that's what Obama's going to do, and he's going to do it very well, and it's going to excite a lot of his base. And just as the president is trying to excite his base, the problem with the president is he needs more than just his base to win and hold on to the House this fall. Yeah. The Democrats don't necessarily have that challenge.
All right, let me ask you quickly before we let you go. I know you got to get always ready for the Man of Steel podcast. But I want to know if you think that this is a high level official or a medium level official. What is your suspicion about the author of this op-ed?
That's a good question too. I've given a lot of thought to this. This is high level. This is not someone who's necessarily in the basement of the old executive office building. All right, so that
because the New York Times wouldn't have taken that. Do you think?
Because the New York Times wouldn't have taken that from someone who from a former party chairman or from someone who's currently in the administration at that level. No, it would not have taken it. So this is someone who has what we call West Wing access, someone who walks into the West Wing every day or has the ability to do that every day. So you're looking at cabinet secretaries, you're looking at, folks
special
out
assistants.
Of the special assistants to the president, et cetera. But here's
right, let me
the other
ask
thing
this.
About this.
Could it be more than one person?
That's where I was going. So this letter is not the brainchild or the musings or frustrations of one person. This letter reflects a groupthink, how a significant number of senior leaders inside the administration feel about where they've been, where they are, and where they're going to go. I asked the question earlier this week, what was the trigger? What was the trigger for this letter? It wasn't something that just came out of the blue. My bet is the combination of the proceedings from McCain's funeral.
Yeah, for sure.
That sort of created the moment, and it's like the realization, okay. But also, more importantly, there's a decision that is being made or has to be made by this president that people are really concerned about. And they're concerned about either the way the president is coming at solving this problem or answering this question, or they're concerned about the decision he's already made. And so this is their way of saying, time out, throw out the flares, get everybody's attention. Houston, we have a problem.
That's all right. That's exactly right.
So I think that's what this was. I don't know. I mean, you know what I thought about it, how I think about it? It's like you, me, Anna, we're sitting around, and you know, along with some other folks that were really pissed off about something, and we decide, okay, let's write it out. And we write it out, we put it in paper, and we say, all right, bro, go deliver, right?
Yeah.
And that representative goes to the New York Times and says, here, this is from us.
Yeah.
Now, it's interesting,
but that's not how the New York Times, I think New York Times is obligated to be very specific about what they can tell us.
I would think
so. And they said it was one person. And that's the thing.
Well, that doesn't mean that one person didn't say to them that this is from us. I just said that.
Right.
That person may have just said here. I mean,
yeah.
he or she probably wanted to keep that circle as small and tight as possible to avoid any leaks of who.
Right.
Who's behind this? But
and it was written by somebody
that this was broader than that one person.
And it was written by somebody who was seems to have some professional writing, speech writing, is certainly some sort of rhetorical writing expertise. And that was that's one of the things. And that a lot of people in Washington now are whispering, you know, outside of the White House and maybe even inside the White House, you know, is it sort of murder on the Orient Express? Is it everybody? Is it not just the
yes?
Yeah, is that
the point?
Right, and does that mean that John Kelly knew about it? Does that mean that Mattis knew about it? You know, those kinds of things. All right, Michael, we got to run. I just want to tell you, I just want to have a calm weekend. Football's back. That's all I'm caring about
right now.
Focus on that. I'm just going to focus on that. And I'm going to, and even though I'm not a Nike guy, I'm not going to wear my Nikes. I wear Adidas. But if I'm going, but I want to go enjoy my shoes and I want to enjoy my football and not have to worry that I'm offending anybody. Thank you, Michael.
Have a good weekend, Michael.
Thank you.
Goodbye. Have a good one.
Yeah, we'll see you next week. All right, there he goes. Let's now check in with Judy. She's got the WGN News.
Somebody, a very popular guy here, was just interviewing me. You know who I'm talking about, great guy. And he said, what do you think of President Obama's speech? And I said, I'm sorry, I watched it, but I fell asleep. I found he's very good. Very good for sleeping.
Okay.
President looked a little sleepy today, too, I thought.
I don't doubt he was sleeping. Yeah, he was very animated last night. He was when he was speaking in Montana.
Mm-hmm.
He's big in Montana.
And Fargo.
Yeah. And he was in Fargo this morning. That's where he was just speaking from. Obama in Urbana and Trump in Fargo.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of makes a ton of sense. Really does. It plays completely to type.
Totally does.
Hey, before we get to some of this other tape here, George Papadopoulos was just sentenced to 14 days in federal prison.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not really federal prison. He'll end up in Metropolitan Correctional Center of some sort, either in D.C. or here, you know, like one of their holding kind of things, or maybe works out some other sort of a deal. I got to say, though, I'm told I've never been in the MCC as a visitor, only as a visitor, never as a guest. But I'm told it's a very unpleasant period of time. So even 2 weeks, I don't think I'd want to do that. There's no cable.
Right. Remember, he's a Chicagoan who was a foreign policy campaign advisor. The president couldn't remember who he was, but he lied to the FBI about the Russia investigation.
He faced 14 days, though. That's
up to 6 months is what he faced. And 14 days, I guess, some said he could have just gotten probation as well. So he's fessed up and owned up, and now he gets 14 days in the slammer. But there's also rumors. You've seen his wife. I think she was fiance when the first started, but wife now, out front talking to CNN, being very public about the whole case. There's also talk that the two of them plan to write a book and seek some sort of, you know, fame and cash out from this whole thing. So I don't know. Is that prohibited if you go through the federal?
Mm-mm.
No. So
once you're out, you're out. You do whatever you want.
That may be the next step.
I mean, he may have lost his voting privileges. You know, he's a convicted felon. That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the, you know, other than that. But then but then Jared Kushner can come around and get him exonerated or something. You know, they like to do that so he can go find a job. Guys like that are not going to have a problem. I mean, so how did this whole thing start? George Papadopoulos, for those who are wondering, like, help me with that name. What was that all about?
Mm-hmm.
George Papadopoulos is patient zero of the whole Russia investigation.
That's right.
It was he who had met with Russian officials. They said that they had dirt on Hillary. He had a meeting, even though they said, you know, Trump was like, I don't know who he is. He was a coffee boy. It was this. It was that. There was one meeting that he attended, a national security meeting, in which Trump was there and Sessions was there. And he suggested, this is all in the plea, that he had suggested that Trump get to, do a meeting with Putin. He claims in the plea that Trump nodded his head affirmatively at that, but didn't say anything out loud. So I don't know what that means. You know, I mean, my guess is the president nods his head affirmatively at a lot of things, but I don't think that necessarily is like, you know, if that's not going to be Mueller's piece of prima facie evidence.
I see that head nod.
But what Papadopoulos did though was he lied about that meeting. So when they go, there's no collusion, there was nothing of this. I mean, there certainly were attempts by the Russians to get to the Trump people.
Absolutely.
And the question is, what did the Trump people do with that? The problem I have with the way the president has handled this, that he denies that there was even an attempt, which there clearly was an attempt. If he were to do it all over again, if I could take Don Jr. and Don Sr. and take them back 2 years, mm-hmm. and say, you know, they're going to come to you and they're going to go, hey, what was this all about? If you really didn't do anything, mm-hmm. then just say, hey, they came to us and we called the FBI and we thought it was bad too. But that's not what they did. And that's why there's a lot of smoke around this whole situation. The question, was there fire? Is anything burned out? That's the secondary question that only Mueller will be potentially able to answer. But the real issue here is that they never, ever, ever acknowledged that this was going on. And then it just kept coming out. They said, none of our people ever met with anybody. And then it turns out that Papadopoulos did. And then Papadopoulos gets popped by the FBI. And he, you know, goes through all this, pleads guilty, and now he's going to do 14 days and whatever else. And I guess in exchange for telling this whole story is what he got 14 days for, as opposed to 6 months. Then there was a Don Jr. meeting, right, with the other Russians. Mm-hmm. Right, and then they were like, "Oh no, that was about adoption." No, there was never a meeting. Okay, there was a meeting. No, it was about adoption. Okay, no, it was about this. It was about that. I mean, and it keeps changing. They've never held to their story, and the only reason that you don't hold to your story is because you know you did something you shouldn't have done. I mean, that's why I've never held to my story. I don't know about the rest of you people, but when my story keeps shifting when the disclosures of what people then find out that I did, you know. Get revealed.
Did I say that? I didn't mean that.
Then
right.
All of a sudden, I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, well, all right, well, yes. But let me recategorize that for you. So that's why there is concern here. Now, again, Papadopoulos does 14 days. One of the other guys early on here, too, did a month or something,
mm-hmm.
like 28 days.
Right now you have, you know, the associate of Roger Stone, who appeared before the grand jury. That's one of the latest tidbits to come out. The Randy Credico, I believe his name is, radio show host, friend of Roger Stone.
Yeah.
He was subpoenaed by special counsel Robert Mueller's office. And he was over 2 hours before the grand jury talking about, what happened with this whole thing. We remember the WikiLeaks situation, and did Roger Stone get advance knowledge of the fact that these emails were going to be dumped? Were they working with WikiLeaks? Were they working with WikiLeaks source? What did they know? When did they know it? He's all part of that thing. And he brought his therapy dog with him into the grand jury.
Randy Credico did?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, no, wait a second.
Bianca.
Bianca is his therapy dog.
Yeah.
What does he need a therapy dog for?
She's got a therapy
dog. This is the craziest bunch of people. I mean, I think I'm crazy. These people are far crazier than I am. And this really worries. I wouldn't want to be. America would not want me in government. Now, all of a sudden, I don't know what to do with any of this.
Yeah.
I would have brought a therapy peacock in with me, though.
Or pot-bellied pig or something. Right,
exactly.
It was a little more fun.
Yeah. Like, I have a therapy python. Do you mind if I bring it in?
This will be very stressful.
Yes.
Grand jury appearance.
I don't really understand any of this.
People are normally stressed when they're lying.
Yeah. When you got to keep track of your lies, that's stressful.
Wait, what? All right. Okay. So we had Obama in Urbana, mm-hmm. and Trump in Fargo. We're going to play one piece of each of their highlight moments from today, and then you get to decide which path you want to go down.
Oh, I thought you were going to do who said what, because I think that would be pretty easy.
Yeah, I think.
Here's a quote. Who said it? That'd be a bad game, though, so yeah, I'm glad we're not playing.
Yeah, no, because for the Trump quotes, you got to find some pretty interesting figures to be able to compare them to. Right. It doesn't really go well. All right, but let's we'll play that for you, just in the interest of fairness, so people can make a decision without any further commentary. And then in the 4 o'clock hour, we're just going to start to have fun. Well, Tom Skilling will get us ready for the weather. And then sweet Luke Kanellis will get us ready for the Bears. As the NFL season has started officially last night in what I thought was a great game, because the Eagles won by more than a point and a half, and it was under 44 and a half points.
It was looking good there for a minute.
A particularly great game last night, Kevin. I don't care what you thought about it.
I completely understand. I completely understand.
Judy, can you help us out with a little bit of news headline for the top of the hour?
Yes, I can. Kaepernick is not bringing Nike to its knees.
Skilling is being brought to us by PermaSeal Basement Systems. There couldn't be a more appropriate person to or institution to bring you Tom Skilling.
That's right.
Because if you've got flooding in your basement, man, you need them. And
boy,
they're here for you.
That's for sure.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah.
Did it happen to you?
Yeah.
Did you call PermaSeal?
Well, we just cleaned it up with paper towels, and I think we figured out the problem on our own. But if it happens again, I'm definitely calling them.
All right. You want me to send a guy over right now?
You know who did call? Andy Mays had a problem. He gave him a call.
There you go. What you
got
to do?
We've got a guy for everything here at WGN.
Yeah, I got a guy. We should just rename this show, Got a Guy.
Kevin, when did that happen?
It happened late last weekend, last
gotcha.
Saturday night.
Gotcha, yeah, during those
big downpours.
Debacles. Yeah,
so much rain.
Was it messy, sloppy, and
nasty?
It
wasn't horrible. No, it sort of stayed on the edge of the basement. It was a sub-basement, so no carpet or anything, fortunately.
Okay.
So
well,
we were able to clean
good.
It up and dry it out. Fingers crossed.
It's amazing. My parents went through that 17-inch flood back in 96 out in Aurora and the Sugar Grove area, and they lost everything they had in the basement, as did most of their neighbors. So, I'll tell you, the PermaSeal people certainly do help out time.
Big deal.
Big deal. Yeah, and you went through it real with that
I did.
Pipe bursting.
Exactly, and it was... It's creepy when you walk in and there's just nothing but water and you can't step into it because the electrical outlets.
Right.
You see
right.
the water pouring out of the electrical outlets and you're like, hey, wait a second. That can't be good.
That's kind of a warning sign. Yeah.
I did, however, find out that I have a really good electrician because it turned out that the water was pouring out of the electrical sockets.
Uh-huh.
Nobody got hurt. And then when we needed them, like a day later when we were drying out, they worked.
No way.
How That's is amazing. That even possible?
Did you go up and test them with your finger just to make sure they were working?
You don't mind. Cousin Cooter did it for me. I did. You know what I lied? I did lick my finger, put it right in the socket, see it's alive.
Well, I'm glad that worked out because that could have been harrowing.
That could have been very bad. Mm-hmm. I remember my father used to wade into the basement and it scared my mother to death. Because she was afraid he'd get electrocuted, but thank goodness nothing happened.
Yeah,
it's dangerous stuff, man.
Yeah,
it is. All right, so I'd like to say that a couple weeks ago we were talking about this. I mean, this is earlier in the program. I will mention it again because it is a victory dance, but it's a bad victory dance. It's a win I did not want to have. I said within 3 weeks we're going to have that of the air show where it's big, beautiful. As your blue skies,
the best,
the white jets dappling in the between the clouds, beautiful, almost Mediterranean blue lake in front of us, and then there's going to be a time in the next 3 weeks where it's going to be gunmetal gray.
Yeah.
The lake's going to be gray.
Yeah.
It's going to feel like Christmas.
Oh. Welcome to autumn.
Yeah, and that's what happened.
I know.
And now it's a little. Now today is a little bit better than it was yesterday. But now that the rain has moved, the rain though that came through downtown a couple hours ago. Yeah. Pretty significant.
Yeah, and down through the southern suburbs. They're really getting nailed down in central Illinois and Indiana, and that will continue to be the area of focus. But looks like what's happening is the rain's pulling south, except for some sprinkles or lighter rain, and then it'll come back north again, kind of wave north. So the best chance of rain is tomorrow night and during the morning hours on Sunday. Unless you're downstate, and this would be area anywhere from, south of Kankakee and Rensselaer down to Champaign, St. Louis, across to Terre Haute, Indiana, Indianapolis. Those folks are under excessive rainfall.
So it's going to be raining all the way through that. And is this part of that system that came up through New Orleans, that tropical depression?
What it's done is it's an independent system, but it's essentially swept in the moisture from Gordon and incorporated into its own rains. So no question about it that Gordon has kind of injected some moisture into this rained-out state. And there have been local 5-inch totals down in central Illinois in spots. Wow. But, you know, there is a fascinating scenario unfolding as we get into next week. This will be on the north flank of this storm system, and there's a big Canadian high building up to the north of us, so these winds are going to get stronger slowly as the weekend goes on. The waves will get higher. We could have 6-7 foot waves crashing on the shoreline come Sunday, and 5 foot waves tomorrow.
What'd I tell you?
Yeah.
You're going down Lakeshore Drive, not so you can get down Lakeshore Drive anymore, but yeah. If you were to be able to get down Lakeshore Drive, the big waves crashing over the breakwater there, and you're like, oh, no.
It makes for quite a scene. It really does. When you go through the Streeterville area there, right up against the water, it's pretty cool. But you know what's happening out in the Atlantic? There's a tropical storm that has weakened greatly. It's been sheared. Florence is its name. But this thing is moving out of the shear zone into warm ocean water. That thing's going to explode. It could be a major Cat 4 130-mile-per-hour hurricane
for the central East Coast, though, right?
Yeah, it looks like it's headed toward the East Coast. Now, it's
right over Washington, D.C.
Well, the latest model runs have it going into the Carolinas. At this distance, you can't trust that. All you can say is between the Carolinas and northward to, say, the mid-Atlantic coast, those folks are going to have to watch this very carefully. The whole coast, though, is in for a battering from waves. And what that's going to do is that goes into the East Coast, the air venting out the top sinks, and that builds a big warm dome of air over us and slows U.S. weather movement down. So it actually is going to produce some gorgeous weather here that will warm us up into the 80s. Yeah, by the middle and end of next week and through the following weekend. So while this week it'll be 12 degrees cooler than last weekend, next week it'll probably be as much warmer this weekend is cooler than last weekend, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we're going to, on average, we're comfortable, is what you're saying.
And you know, we're still way ahead of the game. September's running a good 8 degrees above normal, almost 9 degrees. So we're just kind of whittling away at that a little bit, putting it more in the reasonable range, and then we'll go, we'll probably have below normal temperatures into Monday and then warm up after that. The sun will reappear on Monday.
The rainier day of the weekend is Sunday, you said?
Yeah.
Some stuff going on Saturday as well?
I think so, and unless you're going south, and then it'll rain off and on the whole weekend, and rather vigorously at that. And that could extend up. The steadier rains will spread up into the southern half of the area tomorrow night and could reach just the lighter rains up to the heart of the city. As you go north, the chances of rain will drop off. But the winds are going to pick up. And, of course, there'll be rip currents on the lake. Not that anybody wants to go out swimming in it. And I don't think weekend mariners will be doing a lot of bobbing around in what promises to be a pretty choppy lake out there.
So it's not going to be a great outdoor weekend, is what you're saying.
No. Right. Okay. It won't. It won't rain continuously by any stretch of it, but kind of gray like this, as you mentioned before, really.
Well, the kids should be at home doing their homework now.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Absolutely.
Yeah, they're all in school.
Damn it.
Absolutely.
And football's on, and it's now we're
boy.
In.
So just be quiet while Daddy's watching football.
Yeah,
because it's football until January.
Daddy Killjoy. Yeah. Just...
Don't you kids have homework to do?
Yeah.
I know.
That's what my parents used to do when my dad's watching football.
Uh-huh.
And this is going to be, the football never ends now. It is 5 days a week of football.
Well, you can get those, you know, those cable TV packages too, and watch every football game.
We have them in our household
too.
Miss a game.
I am the most. It is ridiculous. I just looked at this because I'm thinking of my. I'm looking at my credit card bill. Gosh,
I know.
Why is it so
Where
hot?
Does it all go?
And
realized I am paying more for my. I get cable and satellite because I don't want to miss anything.
Yeah,
just in case.
I have the same.
And which is really stupid on my part, because I'm paying more now than I paid for, like, a semester's worth of rent. I pay a month in cable and it's just ridiculous.
You probably are single-handedly paying the salaries of a couple of NFL players, you know?
I know.
Just
I
with that
pay.
Bill.
It is ridiculous, but I cannot miss. I get the full college package, the full pro package. So even though I don't need it, to see Middle Tennessee State take on,
you never know,
Sparta or whatever, the College of Sparta or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I don't really have to worry. If I do want to see it, though, I can decide. Well, maybe I do want to see that game. I don't
sure.
know.
Yeah. Must see TV.
Sure,
you know?
Maybe.
Absolutely.
But it is.
So all Saturday you're watching college, all Sunday you're watching pro, Monday, Thursday. What days do we not have?
So Thursday night football.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Friday night there's football.
Yeah,
right?
Big Ten college. Started scheduling Friday night games as well.
Friday night and Mac, right, has always been playing.
Yeah, but even Mac now has Tuesday night games.
That's true. The last couple
it
years.
Does?
Basically, Wednesday's really your only game off because it's Thursday through Sunday, Monday Night Football, and then Tuesday you get Maction, Mac Football. So Wednesday's your breather, I guess.
Now, how do you squeeze in all the carryings on out in Washington and the coverage of those?
I scream.
Do you have multiple sets going?
Yes, I do. These guys all know in my bar, in my downstairs area, I got one big TV. That's for the sporting event.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then I got two TVs over the bar, and those are for watching. I watch Anderson cry on one, and I watch Tucker get mad on the other.
It's literally like the war room. Like,
it's
can look
a great
up
setup.
Anything.
Kevin's jealous.
It's a war room stocked with Johnny Walker Blue and other expensive liquors and things like that.
Well, you would have to drink to handle all the
incoming.
Oh, my God. That Japanese whiskey?
The stimulation coming from all these sources. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need to medicate yourself.
Think of
you know?
A political war room filled with liquor and booze.
Yes, and I keep beer on hand for everybody's got their own beer that they're interested in. I've noticed here on the show, everybody's very particular about what they want.
They are. Mm-hmm, we
right?
are.
And so everybody's got their own their own stash.
Not Tom. I'll drink anything.
Yes, that's true.
Anna, you're always with it and very, very, what's the word, responsible, behaved.
I don't know about that.
She typically leaves a little early.
I leave early because I just try to, you know, you never know what's going to happen. You know, you just sort
of. Well, that's right.
Exit,
before things start flying through
move.
The air or
she
something
does.
Like
she
that.
She completely, they used to call it the Irish goodbye.
Yes.
You know, but it's.
See ya.
Yeah, it is a total
like,
ghost
I'm going
move.
To the bathroom.
I swear to God, sometimes we'll go, hey.
I did it last night. Did you notice?
Yeah, where's
no,
Anna?
You didn't because it was a disappearing act.
Yeah, we were out last night and it was the same sort of thing. It was like, I don't know. Where's Anna? I don't know. She's laughing.
You never get to see Anna, you know, dancing on top of a table or
no,
anything like that.
I can't picture Anna doing that.
I would like to point something out, though.
Now, Violetta, you know, I mean, that's possible.
She starts,
and you, Kevin?
She'll get us
I mean, maybe.
She starts dancing on the table. That's the problem. But with Anna, though, I can tell. When Anna leaves, it's because she thinks she's about to start dancing on the table.
Right.
That's kind of the moment
to avoid that.
When she's like, all right, I got to go before I do something here. I got to go.
Either that or I can see that everyone's getting a little just like, something crazy might happen.
When Anna's glass is empty, I don't ask her. I just pour.
I know.
She's going to be like, no, that's an... And I'm like,
that's the problem with this crew.
You're
we like
fine.
Our... We enjoy
when Anna hears
beverages.
I love you, man. That's when she's gone. Did I just hear an I love you, man, somewhere
like,
in this
my
house?
My Uber's here. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
See you later.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's really
you know,
true.
Tom, you got to kind of avoid the trouble.
I think you're very wise.
Mm-hmm. Then I sometimes walk Judy to her car, and then the whole way out to the car, she goes, you know, I really don't hate you as much as it appears.
She's actually nicer.
Tom, that's
right,
because I'm always drunk at that point.
Right, until until
really
she
not that
gets,
bad of a guy.
Until she gets to the car, and then she goes, I was just kidding, I needed to walk to the car.
There goes Judy.
And sometimes his coat gets caught in the door, but I just keep going.
Yeah.
And didn't you love my exit yesterday, Ro? When the check came, I left.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, now there you go.
See, we weren't
Judy.
At, we were, They never. The check never gets presented at my own home, so they love that.
Yeah,
they stay forever. But last night we were at Harry Carey's of all places. They're doing the Knarble Wagon for us in about an hour.
Really great.
Uh-huh. And they and so we're sitting there, and then all of a sudden they drop the check on the table. And I've never, and I looked down at the check, and I looked back up, and there's nobody. It's a cricket.
Yeah.
It's like that's all around me. There's,
first of all, I was like, what's that? Yeah. A checkbook?
Job well done, everybody. Yeah, you got out of there at the right time.
They did. Hey, nice. I got Andre Rieu tickets, by the way, to give away for, you know, he's going to be doing a 60-piece Johann Strauss Orchestra piece at the Allstate Arena in Rosemont on September 16th. That's next Saturday night. European King of Waltz is back in the U.S. and repertoire ranging from emotional ballads, celebrated waltzes. Book your tickets at AndreRieu.com or at Ticketmaster. Rieu is R-I-E-U, by the way.
Tom, can we ask you a quick question?
Sure.
A couple people listening want to know about water temperature in Lake Michigan. Is it cooler than normal?
You know what? It's about 4 degrees lower than it was a year ago. Although we jumped up to 70. It was 68 yesterday. Back up to 70. A year ago, it was around 74.
Okay.
And the lake has come up, by the way. You know, with all that rain that has dumped on us, the lake had been running below what it was by a couple inches a year ago. But this is the first weekly report out of the Corps of Engineers that has it an inch higher than a year ago. So it's kind of swung up again.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, every inch that the Lake Michigan level goes up, we pointed out before, is like, I think it's 328 billion additional gallons of water out there.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's good. That, you know, that that covers the pipe breaking in Rose Place, you know, earlier. So.
Yes, there was a total. That's about right.
Yeah.
At
about
point,
328 billion gallons.
I was the next Great Lake.
You
for
were
a moment,
the
yes.
Sixth Great Lake.
I was the Sixth Great Lake for just about 2 hours, as I recall.
Gee, that's so awful. We shouldn't even kid about
now, it's
that.
Okay now. I mean, it's all.
I know. It's in the rearview mirror now.
Let me tell you something, Tom. These people
perfect.
Are not complaining about it around you right now.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, no, his basement's fine. Sometimes I go downstairs and I find one of the cast members on the show sleeping down there. And I'm like, how did you get in my house?
Comfy couch.
It's very comfortable.
Who can sleep when there's so much to do?
I know.
Yeah.
So
boy,
much to drink.
These little get-togethers are legendary.
You got to come out, Tom.
I know.
Something, man.
Somebody's got to, you know, catalog what goes on in these things.
Tom, I need a dancing partner.
Well, there's
on a table.
Yeah, Violetta. I haven't danced on the table lately. You know, I try to.
Don't
I'm like Anna. I try to stay away from
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I understand. I know
at my age,
the
you
older
know, you
we
just,
get, the less,
I know,
less the sexy that is.
The table dancing kind of goes, you know, it fades away
pretty easily too.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
I doubt it. You guys all still got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Tom. Thanks. You have a great weekend. We
guys,
will
have
you
a wonderful weekend.
Next week. Thanks,
yeah.
Sir.
See you later, guys.
All right, Judy. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour news?
That far away, is it?
All right. Before we get to the Bears, let's just, because I have two, I can say this about you, Lou, can't I, that you're a Sox fan? Because you
absolutely
your whole life, we've known each other more than half of our lives, and you have always been a rabid Sox fan.
Grew up on the South Side, was a Sox bat boy. Yeah, of course.
Yes.
This is killer.
And
Kevin tried to put a positive spin on it.
Kevin's
what
a Sox
that?
Fan of that goes way back. Even you're a Northside Sox,
Northsider.
Sox fan,
yeah,
which
dad,
is really
dad
a tough
took
one.
Me to Sox games, yeah.
Yeah. So
what'd you say? You were trying to make me feel better here.
Well, here's my silver lining. 2020 is when they're expected to compete for championship.
I hate that.
Next year, we are expecting improvements. Yes, in the win column and in individual growth. 2020 is the year everyone had circled. Kopech should be full, ready to go. It'll be over a year of recovery at that point when we're all out in the desert. Lou, you and I will be out. We'll go out to eat in Scottsdale, 2020 spring training. We'll go out there. We'll cover it together, and we'll have a cocktail. And we'll say, Kopech is back.
I hate that.
And then I'll say, remember that day in this WGN studios when I was trying to make you feel better? And here we are. Kopech will be right in front of us throwing 100
miles
per hour.
I'm not feeling any better listening to any of this garbage.
Yeah, it's devastating.
I hate when people say, well, you know, we're looking ahead to 2020. You play to win championships.
I know.
Let me tell you something. When Theo Epstein said that in whatever it was, 2013, 2011, I think. 2011, 2012.
That sounds right.
And they say, well, there's going to be about four more years of this before. And now I'm like, oh, come on!
Exactly.
But he was right.
But look,
it works.
Look what happened.
Yeah. And speaking of transition, I think Ryan Pace did the same thing. I mean, I think we've lived through just enough horrible football the last 4 years. Do you know?
4 years?
Well, especially the last 4 years. I know they haven't been to the playoffs since 2010, but over the last 4 years, over the course of a 64-game stretch, no team has lost more games in the NFL except for the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah. Oh, great.
It's
awful. But this year's going to be great.
This is going to be fun, though. He has put together a team. Because of that futility, they've had some draft opportunities here. And he has put together a young core of players. And now, with the Khalil Mack signing, and it's so funny to watch this. How devastated in Oakland to some degree, but they're kind of mad anyway because it's the last season in Oakland for the Raider franchise. But in Las Vegas, where they were like, oh my God, we're going to get. And then. What I don't understand for the life of me, maybe you can explain this, Sweet Lou Canellas from Fox 32. What was John Gruden thinking here?
Well, they just never got on the same page. I mean, since Gruden got the job, they never spoke. And what he did not want to do was let one guy, remember, they paid their quarterback, Derek Carr, $25 million. So what he did not want to do was put all his salary cap money into two players. Not when he is just taking over a franchise, okay, wants to bring in his own guys, and he's got a 10-year deal. Yeah. So John Gruden, whether you think he's going to stay on the job for 10 years, is another story.
And he's general manager and head coach.
Correct. Yeah. So he's got minimally 5 to 7 years to build his team. And if he and Khalil Mack can't get on the same page when it comes to a contract extension, then chances are they're not going to be on the same page at the end of this coming season, all right? And he's going to lose them anyway, so before losing them for nothing, let's see what we can get out there. And when the Bears stepped up and offered the two first-round draft picks, and they were the one franchise, you talk to enough people in Oakland, guys, and the reason the Raiders traded them to the Bears and not the Rams, because the Rams wanted to get into the game as well, was because he was in Chicago, pretty far away from Oakland, outside of the AFC, so right. They didn't have to worry about seeing him on a regular basis.
Right.
Okay,
and every 3 years or something.
Yeah, every three. It just may and this is a knock against the Bears. They figured, well, the Bears are going to stink for the next 2 years, so that first round pick is going to be a pretty good pick. Now that's where he may have gambled wrong, because if the Bears turn it around and finish 9-7 or 10-6, and suddenly they're drafting between 20 and 32, then really two picks in the 20 to 32 range for the NFL Defensive Player of the Year going into his prime at the age of 27, coming
off somehow got a second round back,
which is huge, because if you look at his draft record, he actually, his second round picks are better than his first round picks.
Good point.
I like hearing that.
All right, well, we'll see. I'm really excited. This is the one thing that Bears fans have been talking about for a long time now, is that you need to have edge rush pressure. If they can start to do that, you saw that last night, right? You saw that with Philadelphia.
That's how they won a Super Bowl.
Yeah,
they got to Tom Brady.
Kyle Long's brother, who is a, you know, like, I don't know what Huey, I would like to, like, as a guy in the horse business, I would like to have Huey be my stud for the NFL for like the next 30 years. If we could just assign him to, you know, I don't know how many broodmares we're going to have to find, but we'll just find them. And
Howie or Huey?
I mean, Howie. Did I say Huey?
You said Huey.
Huey Long.
That's what I thought he was going to get. Huey Lewis.
No, Huey Long was the governor of Louisiana. Howie Long. I want Howie Long's stud services for 30 years.
That would be really bad if you messed that up.
Yeah. Anyway, the point is that you got this amazing ability now for the Bears to contain, to put a lot of pressure on the quarterback, and they've got this very strong linebacker core, which they've always been known for, and they've got some good containment in the secondary, I think, now. I mean, and plus, they're going to put a lot of pressure on quarterbacks, so they'll need, you know, they will need that quite as much. I'm very bullish.
Well, they need it in that division, right? I mean, you're going up against three great quarterbacks when you look at it. Mitchell Trubisky's the worst of the four. Aaron Rodgers, Kirk Cousins, and Matthew Stafford. So, right. If you don't put pressure on the quarterback, you're going
to
lose.
I think it's fair to say the talent gap between the Packers and the Bears has narrowed, but how close are we? What are we going to see on Sunday?
Hey, I'd argue, the Bears' offense is incomplete. We don't know. Guys didn't play in the preseason.
And we have no idea what their offense looks like.
Yeah, we don't know what the offense looks like for good reason. I understand Matt Nagy's thinking is like, why would I want to, in the preseason, because he's working out, the guys on offense that they picked up, Allen Robinson, Taylor Gabriel, Tariq Cohen, Jordan Howard, these guys, Anthony Miller, they practiced behind closed doors where the media wasn't able to see. But in a preseason game, why would he show a team like Green Bay anything? I mean, I saw Anthony Miller yesterday. He's so excited to get on the football field.
I can't wait to see what he can do.
Because he knows that they've been so secretive, the world doesn't know what's coming at the Packers on Sunday.
And right? to your point, Anna, I would argue that outside the quarterback position, on paper, the Bears have a better roster than the Packers. Ooh. Outside the quarterback position, that's how important Rodgers is. But I think when you look at the defenses, the Bears definitely on paper have a much better depth chart than the Packers do right now.
People don't realize when the Packers didn't make the playoffs last year, obviously a lot of it had to do with the fact that Aaron Rodgers played 7 games and had his broken collarbone. But that was the first time in 8 years they didn't go to the playoffs.
Right.
So Aaron Rodgers means that much to that organization. Obviously, they couldn't pull it together like Philadelphia did when they lost Carson Wentz.
Right.
I'm with Kevin. Bears have more talent, all right, than Green Bay does, too. And I'd even be willing to bet that they've got more talent on offense as well. He makes Devontae Adams. He made Randall Cobb.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Yeah, he's
got important Rodgers. Is McCarthy on the hot seat?
Oh, my God. It's why they only gave him a 1-year contract extension. You betcha. They missed the playoffs again. He's launched.
He's gone.
I got to tell you something, though. Mike McCarthy is, to me, of all of the Packers coaches over the years, he's the one that really... Mike Holmgren and him are the two scariest.
He looks like a Packers coach, a nice hearty guy on the side on the sidelines, Wisconsin guy,
with that Sharpie sticking out of his hat.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a guy though that he's dominated the Bears since he's been there. So,
Aaron Rodgers,
all right,
too.
We have a newly configured post Khalil Mack schedule that Lou and the rest of us we did this in the preseason, the win loss for the Bears. And I think I had them at 6-10.
Yeah.
I think it was in my last.
Mm-hmm.
I have a changed number here. We'll find out if Lou has a changed number and what everybody else is doing. But first, Judy Pilak, what's coming up at the top of the hour?
Valerie's a no, Preckwinkle a maybe.
Tune into the Steve Cochran Show Monday morning. He'll have free White Sox tickets for you, 8:30 and 9 o'clock. So listen in.
All right. There we go. Sweet Lou Kanellis is here. We're getting ready for the Bears-Packers. For those of you out there who might be interested in just for entertainment purposes only, what the odds are on the game, the Bears are 7.5-point underdogs in Green Bay on Sunday, with 47.5 points being scored on average. You might be above or below that. I don't know. That'll be up to you to decide.
They were 100-1 to win the Super Bowl. Now it's down to 40-1.
Right.
Interested?
I am. Here's what I'm interested in on Sunday. No, I'm not interested in that number yet. I am interested in this number. 40-1. You put
a dime.
dime. You put a dime down. You put 10 cents down, and you have to see what you do.
Well, here's one that you'd have to put in this weekend before the game. The over-under on victories was 6.5. They get Khalil Mack. It's up to 7.5.
Yeah.
Are you playing over or under?
I'm playing over.
I'm with you.
10-6.
Is Khalil Mack playing Sunday?
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. We don't know. I mean, he hasn't played.
How much? We don't know.
Right.
I think he'll play about 75% reps, 80%. He'll definitely be in for all the passing, pass rushing situations.
10-6, my friend.
Okay, so we're not going through the games. We're just coming up with a prediction.
Just the most important ones. The first four games are tough, but I am going 3-1 in the first four games. I am beating Green Bay.
Okay,
I have them beating Seattle at home. Now that's crazy talk right there.
It's Monday night,
but it's Monday night, and then at Arizona, I have them losing, and I have them winning at with Tampa Bay here.
Nice. I've got them 2-2 to open. I think they beat Green Bay. They lose against Seattle. I've seen too many teams on such a big night. They're honoring Urlacher at halftime. And then, I mean, I saw it for how many years with the Bulls winning championships. They'd raise the banner and they'd lose. So I've got them losing the Seattle game, losing at Arizona, beating Tampa. And here's the key. How will this team respond coming out of the bye week? Because then you've got the bye week, and then they play at Miami. So I think they win that game, and if they win against Miami, they'll finish 9-7. If they lose, they'll finish 8-8. At 9-7, I say they get into the playoffs.
Oh,
there we go. I like
that. I think they go 10-6 and still miss the playoffs. Is the way I look at that, like the Lovie Smith era. But they are growing. This is going to be a lot of fun. I think they're going to go through a bit of a losing streak, and they. Think for the last 6-7 games.
Oh, I disagree. I think that's when they're going to get. That's when they will get hot, Ro. Because by then they will really be grasping the new offense.
I hope so.
I think Trubisky plays his best. Here's a question for you on Monday. I want you guys to think, or Sunday night. I want you to think about it.
Okay.
If Trubisky struggles because he didn't play enough and isn't picking up the offense like you'd expect, and having a tough time moving the football against Green Bay, does Matt Nagy have it in him to put Chase Daniel in the second half, because Daniel is a master of the offense, having played with Nagy for years in Kansas City?
Oh, fascinating.
I say no chance. He'll stick with Trubisky the whole time. The confidence for Trubisky, that would kill him.
Yeah, Nagy's new to Chicago, though. I think that's a possibility.
Such he wants
to
win.
He showed us when it came to playing starters in that preseason game. He doesn't care what anyone else thinks.
You're right. You're right.
Daniel was very impressed. I know these games didn't count, but in game four, I guess it was, of the preseason, second to last game, very impressed.
Roe, he knows the offense, and it showed in the preseason. Yeah. And that would be the only reason. If Mitch has a tough time in this first game, does Nagy have it in him to make the quarterback change in the second half, because it's still a close game because of his defense, and he just needs someone in there to get that ball in the end zone?
Well, you see it. You know, you're seeing it sometimes with like Philadelphia and other teams. You're seeing them platoon their quarterbacks because they need to. It's like college. It's like college all over again. Although Ohio State tried that last Saturday in their home opener. Did not work well for them. They kept having to pull out the other guy.
Who's that other guy?
Yeah, the other guy. I don't think we're going to go with the other guy. All right, sweet Lou.
Good to see you, Sue.
All right, Ro, I can't wait, Ro.
Sunday.
You have fun, man.
You
and
too.
Wait, I've got my Bears season preview show tonight at 6:30 with Jim Miller, and we've got the post-game show after the game, the Packers and Bears, and we've got a new show tonight. It's called Bears Unleashed at 9:30.
I already got
Fox a DVR. 32.
Woo!
Good
right,
stuff.
There goes. Thank you very much, sweet Lou Canellas, Fox 32. We've got Judy Pilak standing by. She's got WGN News. From, let me explain this to you, it's very important, from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio, coming your way in 2 minutes. Brokaw Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Richard Roper has stepped into the studio.
Hello, hello.
All right.
Yes. Happy 5 o'clock, people, even though it's 5:13.
Yes.
Was that you breaking stuff in the hall, Richard, after the Kopech news? I heard a lot of glass breaking and things being thrown.
Sox fans not happy this afternoon.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I'm like, you know.
You're one of the first people I thought of. I'm like, what is Richard doing? I hope he's not behind a wheel of a car or anything. Like,
I was actually, yeah, exactly. I mean, I was talking about, you know, trying to time which games that see Kopech, you know, not just this year, but next year.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
Like, figure out which games. But here, can we just pivot immediately? Can I just say what a thrill and a joy and a pleasure it was to see our good friend Lou Canellis in the studio just a couple of minutes ago? Is there a more valuable sports anchor out there?
No.
That guy does it all.
No.
And, you know, and
he
let me,
does.
And I was getting out of the car, so I'm just going to take a wild guess that he either said they were going to be 9-7 or 10-6 this
I think
year.
It was
the Bears.
10-6. Was it
he
10
went
9-7.
I went 10-6.
Okay.
I'm out of my mind.
The two of you, because every year you two idiots say
very
that.
Optimistic.
And then Rich
optimistic.
Says 7-9. So it's great.
All right. Hey, listen. I won my first game last night. That's all I know. Hey, I want to tell you something.
Oh.
I want to tell you that
take the under.
I want to tell you that Lou Canellis, Richard Roper, and I almost broke sports radio.
Oh,
almost
gosh,
broke.
I forgot about that.
We were assigned to do a one-hour sports talk show every night.
Uh-huh, I remember.
By our old masters who told us at one point, don't ever talk about sports, even if the Bears in the Super Bowl. We're not talking about sports.
So he actually said, don't talk about the Super Bowl.
Right.
The same program director then said...
They called us 3 weeks later and goes, we're hiring Luke Canales, you're doing a sports show, because he had some research that showed him we should do sports.
Oh, I actually had a notebook.
That's always the best, isn't it?
So it's like, you know, it's the classic oversteer that you sometimes find in radio programming. And so we had to do that show together. And those two guys, I mean, those, first of all, Lou's one of the great sports broadcasters in Chicago. Of his generation, right? You know, of his generation, our generation, I guess. He's to me the best.
Oh, he's the best.
But
I agree.
I'm not supposed to be on a sports show. I can tell you that right now. I'm a fan. I am not a. Rich knows everything. Knows every statistic, and Lou knows all the stuff.
But you guys can make sports enjoyable.
We got really deep into the weeds on that.
On multiple levels.
Don't worry.
That's fantastic.
Didn't work. Then they were like, maybe this wasn't such a good idea. They fired everybody involved. All right. Are you ready? Because it's a Friday top five. Yeah, here we go.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show. Let's go.
4, 3, 2, 1. Now, it's the top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Number 5.
All right, his first big speech since being president of the United States, Barack Obama came out swinging today in Urbana, Illinois, is on the U of I campus. He started out with an ILL chant.
He did, just to make sure everybody was awake.
Oh, yeah.
Made a pizza reference to the pizza store. There was one of the restaurants in town, and then talked about corn and beans to make sure everyone knew. He knew he was in Champaign-Urbana.
When he was flying in, he said to people on the plane who'd never been to Illinois before, that's corn, that's beans. Look at me. I'm a genius.
Very stable.
Yes, exactly. So, now, in fairness, we're going to play Donald Trump here, too.
But okay.
This is Barack Obama today, and I think it's on, like Donkey Kong, as the kids used to say.
Very hip.
The former president, he not only denounced President Trump, but he denounced the Republican Party.
But I have to say this, because sometimes we hear... Oh, a plague on both your houses. Over the past few decades, wasn't true when Jim Edgar was a governor here in Illinois, or Jim Thompson was governor. Got a lot of good Republican friends here in Illinois. But over the past few decades, the politics of division and resentment and paranoia has unfortunately found a home in the Republican Party.
And Jim Edgar was in the front row.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Referenced him several times. It's interesting because it seems like he stepped into... You know, he's going to be a prominent voice in the midterm fight if you listen to that speech today.
What does Barack Obama think about Donald Trump's attacks on the press?
It shouldn't be Democratic or Republican to say that we don't threaten the freedom of the press because they say things or publish stories we don't like. I complain plenty about Fox News. But you never heard me threaten to shut them down or call them enemies of the people.
But it wasn't his administration accused of having the DOJ and FBI track phone records of reporters who were...
Phone records of people talking to reporters, right? They were looking for leakers. And Rosen. From Fox News.
That's right. Yeah. James Rosen.
James Rosen.
And then Cheryl Atkinson at CBS.
He went on to say that this election is just too important not to vote.
I'm here today because this is one of those pivotal moments when every one of us, as citizens of the United States, need to determine just who it is that we are, just what it is that we stand for. And as a fellow citizen, not as an ex-president, but as a fellow citizen, I'm here to deliver a simple message, and that is that you need to vote because our democracy depends on it.
All right.
Okay. He also, maybe the most important thing is he told all the youngsters out there, now that his daughters are almost out the door, to call your parents once in a while to make sure you check in with them. Because mom and dad or whoever's there, they miss you and they're not letting you know so much. So come a call.
He said he was very tearful.
That was a good one. Good advice.
That's good advice.
He's very good at being human.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
I kind of miss that a little bit. I don't, you know, politics be damned. I kind of miss the human, the
it's
human part.
Self-deprecating and
stringing them words together too, with semicolons and periods, and it was amazing.
Complete thoughts.
It well, was crazy.
That leads us to
number four.
President Trump today in Fargo.
Ah.
He took a shot at Barack Obama.
Somebody, a very popular guy here, was just interviewing me. You know who I'm talking about, great guy. And he said, what do you think of President Obama's speech? And I said, I'm sorry, I watched it, but I fell asleep. I found he's very good. Very good for sleeping.
What? How do you feel about Bob Woodward?
And by the way, then this idiot Woodward, who wrote this book, which is all fiction, said that I said something like that, but he put it in a very crude manner. The concept is true, but the way it was said was very, you know, hey, I went like to the best college. I did lots of good. I mean, you read this thing, the quotes were wrong. All these, John Kelly, General Mattis, they're all writing, I never said that. You know, well, it's fiction.
I went to the best colleges.
Didn't he say that before?
Yeah.
Has he said that publicly?
Times.
Yeah. Right. That's what I thought.
He went on at the end of that to talk about how, you know, if he's going to make an hour speech extemporaneously, you got to be, you know, very high functioning.
Yeah. Highest level.
Yeah. Highest level. I know a lot of people who can, I know a lot of comedians who are not high functioning or highest level.
I know a guy down a Wacker Drive go 3-4 hours straight without coming up for air.
Oh, and then he took a swipe at a dead guy.
We have all sorts of health care. We actually had it beaten, but that's a long story. We repealed and replaced, but we'll do it. We'll do it. We had it done, but it something happened.
Still there.
Hi.
Okay. All right. Well, there you have it, the yin and the yang of American politics right now. And I would say that the one thing that I will agree with Barack Obama on 100% from today is that the you know the Tonys has gone straight to crap, and it's not helpful not only to the United States, but it's not helpful to internally but externally. You know, as we're trying to cut deals and make things happen so that we maintain our position as being the leader in trade and the place that the world looks to trade with and to partner with for security. You know, it's this is that you kind of need to change the dynamic here. But, well, hey.
We've got some elections that can handle that.
Maybe. I don't know. Do you see some of these jokers who are running for some of these offices? It's not getting better.
But there's some strange things happening, such as Ted Cruz being neck and neck now with that Beto O'Rourke in Texas, a red state, running against a Democrat.
I like necks. I like long, languid necks. Do you ever see giraffes when they hug each other around the necks? Oh, they're big black tongues. Yeah. You ever see a giraffe with a big, big black tongue sort of sticking it out and you're thinking, oh, what would it be like to French kiss a giraffe?
Oh gosh.
What?
At least one.
9-7 the Bears then. Huh? You're saying probably. Okay.
They're going to the playoffs, says Luke Pinellas.
Okay.
Just what goes on in Ted Cruz's head is he's thinking these things.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. Judy, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour news?
Obama fired up, Trump sleepy.
The okay. Eisenhower.
Hold on. Hold on one second. The traffic now with Violetta being brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation.
This week on Chicago's Best, the team is bringing you the best bites on the streets. Catch Chicago's Best Street Food this Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV.
All right, Top 5-5 continues. We've worked our way to
number three.
Now, last year, this New Jersey couple started a GoFundMe page after a homeless guy gave his last $20.
Homeless veteran.
Right, to help a woman get gas at a gas station.
Yep.
How'd that work out?
Well, they got about $400,000 on the GoFundMe page.
That sounds really good.
Right?
Wow.
Yep.
That's a lot.
And then the guy, the homeless guy, Johnny Bobbitt, doesn't want to go by John because that's bad. John Bobbitt. That's
an infamous name.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Let's not do that. Johnny Bobbitt says that after everything was said and done, he got about $75,000 in cash, goods, and services. Mm-hmm. So what happened to the other $325,000?
Hmm. I have to ask them for everything. It was kind of... In the beginning, it was a joke. Like, they were like my parents. But the joke stops being funny after a while. He is a self-described gambling addict. I think it's pretty hypocritical for you to tell me I can't manage my money because I might spend it on drugs. And you're doing the same thing. I wish, you know, I hate that it came to this. I didn't want to be pressuring to get a lawyer or do anything because I didn't want to appear ungrateful.
Oh, boy.
Police towed a BMW off their property, removed boxes presumed to contain evidence. They seem to be living a lavish lifestyle and posting evidence of such on social media and say the money's gone.
Oh, gosh.
Oops.
Yeah.
Okay.
But GoFundMe says they're going to give him the remainder of what he didn't get.
Really?
So that site is making good on
it. Wow. Then the people at GoFundMe will have to put out a GoFundMe to pay them to get the money back that they funded the dude with.
Very interesting.
GoFund us.
GoFundMe.
Number two.
Oh, my gosh.
Tomorrow night in Allentown, Pennsylvania, Elton John kicks off his farewell tour.
Hmm.
It's going to take him 3 years to complete his farewell tour.
That's amazing.
I went to his farewell tour in 1979.
Yes. Uh-huh. I was there as well.
Right? It was here in Chicago.
Yes, at the Rosemont. I was at that show. He came back. And then he kept coming back. Well, in 1979, he had to go to rehab, is where he was going.
Yeah. It's not really how they portrayed it, but whatever.
Yeah.
It made you cough off a few extra bucks for the tickets, though.
He was done. He wasn't going to perform anymore.
Yeah.
It's our last chance to see Elton John.
All yes, right.
Until 30 years.
I think I've gotten 59,000 more.
Listen, Sinatra quit in 58 the first time.
He says the main reason he's retiring from the road is because he wants to be home with his two kids. He doesn't want to travel anymore. He doubts he's going to change his mind. I doubt that he doubts, but all right.
I'm not going to feel different about traveling. I've been in the back of a van since I've been 16, and I travel so much. I do about 180 flights a year, and that takes it out of you. I'm 71. I can't physically do the traveling, and I don't want to do the traveling. I don't want to travel anymore. I want to be at home. I very rarely see my homes, and I really want to spend time with my children at my home and enjoy my life. I've had an incredible life, but, you know, life is all about change.
Okay, let me ask you this thing. Uh-huh. Why are you doing a 3-year farewell tour if that's the problem?
If the kids aren't even going to be young anymore by the time you're done.
Right. He did that residency in Las Vegas. It was successful.
Yeah, it was great.
He may come back and do that again. I don't think he'll stay off the stage.
Right.
Although he gets mad when other people try to get on the stage. So he's got that whole thing going. I don't know. I still love him.
I do too.
Number one.
So yesterday, we told you the story about the passing of the legend Burt Reynolds, and a little story about an event that we did with him back in 2011, that Richard and I did with him back in 2011. Mm-hmm. And we were trying to play some tape yesterday of this, and unfortunately we were unable to find the archives. But due to a young lady who worked for us for a few years, her name is Alitza Bezios. She was a television anchor and reporter down in Miami and a bunch of other places in the United States of America.
Amazing person.
She was working for us in that year and decided to take Burt Reynolds backstage and with a video camera try to get him to do some what they call liners for us, where he does like these one-off little ad lib lines about the radio show or the TV show or whatever it was that we were doing at that particular time. And let's just say this, Alitza, as a television anchor, is a beautiful woman, right? Charming, lovely woman.
Mm. Very warm.
Old enough to be Bert's granddaughter.
Easily.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think he took a little bit of a liking.
On the Roan Roper show, Mr. Reynolds, what did you think? It's their one-year anniversary. They're celebrating it.
Well, I think they're terrific. And how about you, Alitza? Do you do anything later?
I'm busy. I'm kidding.
There you
go. Where are we going? Where are we going, huh?
Story of my life.
Where are you taking me, huh?
Where you want to go, baby.
Could you wish the guys that I'm counting 1 year anniversary because they went from being number three to being number one in Chicago.
Who am I wishing this to?
Ro and Roper.
Who I just got off of.
Yeah.
Who I like a lot.
Okay.
No.
There you go.
Well, that just boils a lot down, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, there you go.
Forgot all about still us in 30 it. Seconds. Who?
Yeah.
Was he in his late 70s at that
yeah,
point?
75, 76.
Okay. Yeah, how you
still
doing?
Still had it.
Yeah,
baby.
Still had
where
it.
Do you want to go, baby?
Yeah, let's
great
go.
Game.
Where are we going?
Great game.
Who am I doing this to?
What are you doing?
Oh, wait. Oh, I was just there, wasn't
yeah, I?
Yeah,
I like those guys a lot. Yeah. No, I'm not doing any of that.
But I like you more.
Oh, my God.
See, if we played that while he was still alive, that would have been a crime. There would have been, yep. Next thing you know...
Baby. She's not a baby.
Rose
she's
McGowan would yeah. have been having a speech
yep.
about it.
That's right. But, we'd all get a phone call.
Right, yeah. But now we just remember him as a charming man, a charming legend of the past. All right, let's wrap this thing up.
The top five at five.
To alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
Drink, man, I'm gonna get gas. Gonna get high, man, I ain't had enough. Leave me a triple shot of that stuff. Gonna get drunk, won't you listen right here. I want one bourbon, one shot, one beer. One bourbon, one shot, one beer.
Tastes great, makes women appear more attractive, and makes a person virtually invulnerable to criticism.
Alcohol is a way of life. Alcohol is my way of life, and I aim to keep it.
Find it, buy it, make it. I don't care. Just get me some booze and fast.
I can't take this much longer. I gotta have a beer.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Ma'am, you'll please take a seat, or we'll have to have you.
Please help us, Mr. President, before it is too late. The election.
What she say? I can't understand her. What?
Steal the election. That is why
$4.25, $4.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5, $7.5 half. I yield back.
Oh, man. That happened in Congress this week. Mm-hmm. I just want to point that out.
Dealing with a heckler.
Yeah.
And you're a professional sidebar auctioneer from, who was that? Congressman Billy Long, right?
Mm-hmm. Not Huey Long. And not Howie Long, but Billy Long.
Billy. All these
one of those Lumuminous anonymous people, too.
All right.
Cowards.
I got to say, one of the there would be no Carnarvon wagon were it not for Grant Deporter at Harry Carey's. I can say that without fear of contradiction.
That's true.
They were one of the earliest adopters and sponsors in the Carnarvon wagon, now in its 20th season.
Yeah.
Very
How about
cool.
that? Think about that for a second. That is pretty good, right? And Harry Carey's is here because, actually, let's put it this way. Grant is here, and mm-hmm. Harry Carey's is here, and Talon, the second greatest bartender in Chicago.
After Frankie.
After Frankie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't say that you're the best, because Frankie actually was found best by the readers of the Chicago Sun-Times.
It's true.
He had 300,000 votes for first. He won big time.
Yeah. Yeah. I always say 600,000, but whatever it was. Anyway, the point is that...
He's my sensei.
Yes. You're his kohai, or whatever.
He's my soul sensei.
Mm-hmm. That's what it is. And so, but Frankie had, other engagements today. He's always very busy. Was he in Philadelphia last night for the big home opener of the Eagles? He's a big Eagle.
Yelling at Nick Foles as they came off the sideline. They were booing at halftime. It didn't take long for them to revert to being Eagles fans. Oh. They're down by 3 points.
Yeah.
They got booed off the field.
Super Bowl, they're all like, these are bums! All right, but anyway, that's not why we're here.
No.
That's not why we're here. Grant is here because Grant is also, I think people should know this, the Green Tie Ball is one of the great traditions in Chicago. It's now 27 years old.
Right.
7 years older. Then it's little brother, the Carnarvon Wagon.
Oh, my goodness.
The Green Tie Ball is one of the most fun evenings in Chicago. It's mm-hmm. It's one of the... black ties, in this case, green tie, mm-hmm. events that actually is fun as opposed to having to sit down and a bunch of, people get up and
it's
make blast. Speeches about
it's death. Loose as can be. No.
You kind of understand. It's the best black tie in the
Here
city.
We go.
Yeah. The best.
Okay. Settle and down. It is fun. And that's the most
it
important.
Is totally
it's the funnest.
Fun.
It's the fun. There is nothing more fun.
So now, where is it this year? Because it used to be at Finkelsteel, and now that's going to be million-dollar condos or something over there. That's where it started, and it became this gigantic international sensation there. Mm-hmm. And then it's moved to you tried to up the fun every year by moving it to all these different locations. And this year, it's brand new, right?
The
new
location. Yeah, we've never been there before. It's called the Garrity. It's at 2520 South Hoyne. Like, I don't know how you call that neighborhood, but near Bridgeport, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an amazing venue. It's owned by Tom Kehoe, and he's the guy that actually designs pretty much all the big events in the city of Chicago. All the if you're going to have the cool decor and everything, he's the king of that, and it's his venue.
Is it like interactive kind of decor you're talking about? Like,
well, yeah. I mean, this is a Dr. Seuss theme. It's called Green Eggs and Glam.
Love
so
this.
It lends itself to amazing decor. So if we're ever going to go in Tom Kehoe's place, this is the year to do it because he's going to unleash all the crazy Dr. Seuss themed decor.
It's always such a great cross section of Chicago at this event. That's what I noticed. You know, some crowds are just like kind of, you know, they've got a certain crowd here and a certain crowd there, but you get everybody from all across the city, Grant, to come together, and it's so cool. People just have. It's just so much fun. The Green Tide Ball.
It is fun.
Year.
It is. It is one of those events that it has always a younger crowd. Most, mm-hmm. but like you start like black tie events, it's all people who are near dead. Let's just be honest.
Yeah,
most black tie events are
donors
people,
and people. Yeah. Kind of at the later end of their life.
Yes, it's right.
Later part of their life.
Oh my gosh.
No, it
oh,
is. Golly. You see a lot of that. Come
but,
on.
You know, but the Green Tie Ball was always kids. It was like their first, you know, the first time they would like go rent a tux or go. It's basically like prom for 20 and 30 somethings is basically what it's like.
Yeah, that was. So my dad started Chicago Gateway Green, which is all the benefits to Chicago Gateway Green. My dad started 32 years ago, and it's to green and beautify Chicago. And he decided he wanted to get young people involved with the cause. So he wanted to create like the ultimate party. Yeah, uh-huh. My dad was like the fun guy for Hyatt just with all the crazy ideas, and he just decided to have the ultimate party, get the young people involved with helping beautify Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
How was that to have the dad who was behind the ultimate parties? I mean, growing up with that scene, and how did you and Ro Khan control yourselves growing up with a dad like that?
We're lucky there's no video cameras around back in those days.
Social media wasn't big back then. That's maybe saved you a little bit.
What I later found out was that there were security cameras at the Hyatt, though, where Grant grew up, who was Eloise of the plaza there, and and it turns out that there were some cameras, but really it only ended up in federal trials with politicians. It never really ended up with us, so we were fine.
One of those movies like School Ties, you know, mm-hmm. the preppies running around.
Yeah,
and you know they always talk about how the St. Patrick's, the old St. Pat's, the big block party. You know, like they say something like 1,400 couples have met and then gone on to get married. Mm-hmm. But the Green Tide Ball. 227 of those couples have had second thoughts about their marriages when they see all the other beautiful people there. So, you know, they're also responsible for that. I think I made a big mistake.
I would just like to know how many pregnancies are a result of the Green Tide Ball. That's all I would like to know right now.
What?
Because that is a hookup-a-rama.
Yes. Well, you see, I mean, a lot of beautiful dates go, but you also see, like, the packs of, like, six bros.
Yeah.
Like Ryan Cheverini young women. And all his friends.
Yeah.
This is Trevor. This is also Trevor. This is Taylor. This is Justin.
Meet Ashley, Amber, Madison. You guys all hang out here. I'll be right back. I'm going to go get drinks. Speaking of the drinks, Talon, what did you make for us here? What's the official drink of the Green Tide Ball?
Let me tell you
on the microphone there
For your Green Eggs and Slam, we've got Green Eggs and Glam. I have the Slam I Am. This is.
Wow.
Well, hold on to your bootstraps. This is like a dreamsicle.
Oh, my gosh.
That was great.
It looks a little like the color of the original Dr. Seuss book, so that's where the inspiration
it's
came
pink.
From.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, a little orange,
and it's
pink.
Got white like eggs, like fried eggs on top. Except it's got a green yolk, which green eggs, right?
Right.
And it's
right.
I gotta just say that there's something about the way that this whole drink sets up that this will cause more. Sexual activity as a result.
Oh my gosh!
I'm just gonna tell you that right now. It's almost like
too?
Drink porn is what this looks like. All right, I'm gonna try this.
Here you go.
T, we're gonna see if you did the right thing here.
Okay.
You will not drink this in a cup. You will not drink this all the way up. You will not drink this with some sass. You will drink this in a martini glass.
Holy!
Oh, very well
wow! Done.
One drink, two drink, three drink, four.
Yeah, no. Four drink hospital. I would say in this one, this thing
four drink,
straight
no
up. What's in this?
So it's. vanilla vodka.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Orange vodka.
Oh, God.
Orange juice.
Mm-hmm.
Rum chata.
Rum chata.
And a little bit of grenadine.
Wow.
All mixed up. It's kind of foamy, though. What did you? How do you do the foam?
I shake it like a Polaroid picture.
Look at that.
Wow.
That's good.
That was really good. This guy's gonna have guns by the time you're done with the green tie ball here, because this thing is shaking. This is going to light the party on fire. All right, so now if people want to get tickets to this, Grant DePorter, what do they do? It's next Friday night.
Right. Go to gatewaygreen.org, and the green tie ball is right on the homepage there, and you can buy your tickets there. It's $175 for regular admission and $500 for VIP.
What's the difference between VIP and regular admission? For that.
You get to hang out with Grant DePorter for the five Hondo.
Right in the middle. Right. Yeah, we have a special area, our own bar. There's all kinds of perks right in the middle. And Red Foo is our do you know who Red Foo is?
Sure. Who doesn't know who Red Foo is?
LMFAO.
Yes, of course. He was the F in LMFAO.
Yeah, his father founded Motown. And he's gonna rock the city, or what's his main song? Party Rock?
Party Rock.
Yeah. And then we have Dr. Bombay.
Like
we
I
have
said,
Rivers see, Casino with our casino.
Black Love the tie, casino. They have older people. And now Grant, it just became that. Even though Grant's not that old, it just became that right there at that very moment. We've got Red Foo. It's like Cup trying to describe it. They're going to have Red Foo. Red Foo, of course.
I saw Red Foo over at Charter One Pavilion. I was there with Kesha.
He didn't even have an instrument. It was unbelievable. There was some sort of machine he played, and then
he's bringing in dancers. They're crazy. They break dancing all over the place. I can't. It's just mind boggling.
Wait till you see Grant at the casino games too. He's a totally different person all of a sudden.
Yes,
looks like James Caan in The Gambler.
Ro taught me everything I know at the craps table. Yes. I can't be stopped.
Absolutely not. Let me just tell a very quick story about Grant DePorter. Grant DePorter went to one of the great universities in America. And he studied hotel and restaurant management, and it's probably the best hotel restaurant management school in the world, right?
Yeah, it is number one.
Could we say that? Columbia. Not Columbia.
Cornell. Yeah,
Cornell University in New York. And he had to take a whole semester on table games, on gambling things, because that's what, at hotel restaurant management, you better learn how to run a casino. So he knew all the tricks. So I followed him around Las Vegas for a weekend, mm-hmm. and I watched him work. I swear to God, I thought it was going to be like that scene for Casino, where they're going to take us into a bathroom and tape us to a table and try to drill our hands off. Is what I thought was going to happen.
Oh, my goodness.
He's like, watch this. And the next thing you know, rolling for hours on a craps table.
Well, that's in part because I read Richard's book.
A lot of knowledge.
Bet the house. That's right.
Bet the house. Bet the house.
Gamble with you guys.
He took it with him, actually, Grant. Yes. He actually did. It was very cool.
If I was in doubt, I read Richard's What Would Richard Do? And it always worked. It never lost.
That's cool.
WWRD.
All right. Green Tie Ball.
Nice.
The Green Tie, gatewaygreen.org is the website for that. Green Tie Ball is next Friday, and it's going to be at the Garrity, 25th and Hoyne in Chicago. So the southwest side, southwest side. It's a hot part of the city right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's valet parking and all of that.
And it's easy.
You make it easy.
Very easy.
Mm-hmm. Uber already knows what they're doing to get there.
Uber and Lyft both know about the big event.
Okay. And you got Dr. Bombay is your band.
Yeah, we've got like 30 restaurants serving food.
The food last year was outrageously good, I have to say. Yeah. It's good every year.
You don't want to go to any restaurant that night because every head chef in the city is with us.
Isn't that true?
That's true.
Oh, gosh. It's great.
That is
absolutely
true.
Great.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being here. Talon, you did a really nice job.
I thank you.
Yeah, Talon is a bartender extraordinaire. He's a server extraordinaire. He's an artist. He's a renaissance man.
He's the most talented man I have ever met.
Oh, my gosh.
He's across the board. And he made a drink that actually...
It has eyes, egg eyes.
Yeah.
Is that what you're seeing there?
Yes.
That's not what I'm seeing.
No, he's seeing something else. Well, let's just put it this way.
He's making it dirty.
Yeah.
The show just gets dirty.
I would say if Pixar ever made an R-rated film, that would be one of the talking characters Drinky Martini would be one of the characters voiced by, like, Patton Oswalt.
Right. No, I think this would be more of like a female voice. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, that's true.
That's a whole other thing. All right, thank you very much, kids.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. We've got to move along here. We have got Judy Pilak. What's coming up at the top of the hour?
President Trump dissing Chicago again.
Traffic brought to you by the CIBC Theater, where Hamilton is playing. HamiltonMusical.com/Chicago for tickets.
Pink roses, red flags. bar close out the tap. White t-shirt, quicksand, gold necklace, nightstand. It's a little bit more than complicated. That's an understatement. That's what happens when you break up with your best friend. Thought that it would be forever, but it's ending.
Jillian Linklater. She's that's a song called "Break Up with Your Best Friend." What do you do? I know
it's so good.
It is good. It speaks to you, doesn't it?
She's like 10 times better than Taylor Swift.
All right, now, okay. See, now that's what we want to hear, because she's here to play live. We're going to bring her up in just a second, but we got a studio situation going on here. Hold on 1 second. I'm all over this, kids.
That's when you want.
Yeah, there we go. I got her now. All right, Jillian, you there? I got you.
I am.
What'd you think of that?
Going? I see you guys moving to my song. It makes me feel awesome.
Oh,
I just want to say, she's in what we like to affectionately refer to here as Studio G in the in our live performance studio. And I believe I just heard our traffic reporter, Violetta Pattermatic, say about you, just say, hey, better than Taylor Swift.
I heard that, and I'm thinking my face is a little red right now, because that is the highest compliment. It's really good. That song just instantly, like, you can't not dance and move to it, and it hits right to the soul. Oh, well, thank you so much.
So who's your best friend you broke up with? What's going on there?
Oh, shoot. You know, I can't divulge those details.
Sure you can. Taylor Swift does.
No.
Pull a Taylor.
Oh, my gosh.
She's smarter than Taylor Swift, too.
Wow. How about that? And, you know, congratulations, because your music is, millions of plays on Spotify right now, so congratulations on
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
But you're also, your music is hitting television and film here as well, right?
Yeah, it has. It's been really encouraging to see it on different platforms. So, yeah.
That's the way you got to sell the music now, kids. It's not like it used to be.
Do you ever get any complaints? Do you write a lot about, you know, friends and your relationships and things like that?
Yeah.
Get dangerous sometimes?
Oh, gosh, yeah. Actually, I'm going to play a song now that the names have not been changed in the song whatsoever. So that could get me in a little trouble, but we'll see.
Wow.
Gutsy. I know. It just had a nice ring to it. I couldn't change it.
Interesting. Very interesting. Now, I guess we're going to have to either guess who it is. Is this somebody we might know?
Oh, no, no, no.
No, not at all? Someone we can look up on social media? No? Anything? What can we do?
Only the first name. I can't give that much information away.
If we went to your Instagram, would we see the person?
Oh, gosh. You guys are really digging deep
okay,
here.
We'll stop.
The thing is, that's just terrible.
The person who hears the song will know exactly that it's
yes,
about them.
Yes, that's really what matters. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, I know. Here we go. All right, Jillian Linklater. She played here at Haymarket last night, right?
Yep.
To overflow crowds. And then you're going to be in Lake Orion in Michigan on Saturday.
Yep.
It's coming up day after tomorrow. Tomorrow, actually.
It's tomorrow, yeah.
Yeah, I can't believe what day it is, actually, at this very moment. And then down in Nashville at High Watt. And then in November back in Detroit. So hopefully we'll be seeing you back here. But if you want to find Jillian, where can we find you? JillianLinklater.com, of course, your website.
Yeah, yeah. Best way is Instagram. I just love that Instagram. It's just my name, Jillian Linklater. But Facebook as well. And my music's on Spotify and iTunes and all that jazz. So.
All right. And this is A Time to Go.
Yeah.
Take it away.
Chase the stars and run down tomorrow. Time isn't waiting. If we do, we'll never know. It's time to go. And we could dance in the face of the monsters. Take our chances anywhere that we wander.
it's time to go. Is this noise or is it music? You've got a voice, so use it. Here we go. Whoa. Shine brighter than the northern lights, celestial diamonds, oh, we burn so bright. We burn so bright. Is this noise or is it music? You've got a voice, so use it. Here we go.
Later, right there. The time to go. And she's got another song, Christine. I think it's about Christine. Mm. And that is coming up in just a few minutes. But first, let's check with Judy what's coming up in the newsroom.
Why do I always have to file that kind of thing?
I know.
Nothing I can say can compare. Except Trump says he fell asleep watching Obama's wake-up speech.
Violetta has got the WGN traffic being brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation.
So tune in to Micah Mater and Joe Donlin weeknights on WGN TV News at 9 o'clock.
Live Music Friday. Jillian Linklater is with us. Jillian has blown our socks off.
There are some people come in and you just wonder, some artists, and you're like, why are they not uber famous already? She's one of them. But then I realized if she were uber famous, she wouldn't come on to our show. So she's on her way to be uber famous.
Right.
And we just wanted to remember us when she is.
This is how it always goes. We watch them on the way up. And they don't talk to us at the top. And we'll get a call for her from her in about 15 years on the way down. So this is how it'll be. Don't worry. I'm not offended.
Used to it.
I totally get it. All right.
Oh, my goodness. This will never happen. Never in a million years.
Jillian Linklater is incredibly talented. You can find her at her own website, of course, jillianlinklater.com. And then on just go to the Insta. The kids, they love the Insta.
The
you can find her music.
Days, yeah.
Yes, and you can find all the music where all fine music is sold or stolen on the internet. It's all right there. You can find all of it right there. All right, Jillian, this song is called Christine, and we're going to find out now. We've been guessing behind the scenes whether Christine did something good or bad to you. We're going to find out right now.
You know, it's all happening right now.
I bet you seen Christine by now. I bet you've seen Christine by now. And the waves are taking over, and it's full steams up ahead. Yeah, I bet she's headed over to your house, and you'll be on the sofa making out. And I'm trying not to think about it, but I can't get it out of my head. 'Cause I bet you've seen Christine by now. But what if I told you I changed my mind about us? What if I told you I never should have let you go? What if I told you I realized that you're the one I want? It wouldn't matter anyhow, 'cause I bet you've seen Christine by now. Did was make a mess. Finally thought I was doing what's best. But what was I thinking, walking out on you? Yeah, I love making messes with you. It's what we do. And what if I told you I changed my mind about us? What if I told you I never should have let you go? What if I told you I realized that you're the one I want? It wouldn't matter anyhow, 'cause I bet you've seen Christine by now. Christine by now.
Oh my Jillian gosh. Linklater. Wow. All right, so it turns out Christine didn't do anything bad to you.
Yeah.
No, she's a person passing in
she's
the distance.
She's off the hook.
Yeah, she's off the hook. It's that
him.
Guy.
It's that loser boy who didn't get his name dropped in the song. What's up with that? I don't know what I was thinking, but
I'm going to Instagram.
Sometimes, though, I have learned, you know, sometimes that mess is best left behind. Because even though you want that mess back,
yes,
it's sometimes...
In the moment, you do.
Yes, sometimes it's best to move on. So that's it's fine, because you ended up here at WGN on Live Music Friday from Studio J.
Am I here for relationship advice, too? Is that what is well, that therapy?
Let me tell you something. You're not going to get relationship advice from me. That is the... They court ordered. I'm not allowed to give it. All right, Jillian Linklater. You can find her on Instagram and everywhere else. She's on Spotify. Millions of people are already digging her music. So, Jillian, congratulations on that. Judy Pilak bringing you the news right now, brought to you by Townstone Financial.